You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, it's October baseball in Boston again. Red Sox advancing to the ALCS, where they'll take on the Houston Astros. And I had to apologize because I did not see them getting it all past the Tampa Bay Rays in this series, but they did, and they did it in four games. Progressive guest line, Progressive making it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Our good friend Brian Barrett, WEEI in Boston. How are you, my friend?
Tony, I'm doing well, man. First, the Red Sox beat the Yankees, and then the Rays are eating popcorn in the dugout after they had a big lead in game two, so I'm feeling good.
No doubt. Listen, I got two conflicting things here. One, people didn't predict the Red Sox would have this kind of season, but at the same time, they're still the Red Sox. When we look at how surprising this is, how surprising is it really?
So if you look at the Vegas over-under win total, they were at, like, what, 79 games? So nobody expected to be at this point. So I guess in some sense it's surprising. But Alex Cora was basically saying since the beginning of spring training that they had a really good team. The question was going to be, were they going to get enough pitching? And at times this season, they really didn't, and it looked ugly. I mean, think about where this team was at just about 2 weeks ago. It felt like they had a real chance not even to make the wild card game. They go into the final week or the final 2 weeks of the season. They get swept by the Yankees at home. They lose two of three to the Orioles, like one of the worst teams in baseball history. And then somehow they go into Washington, they sweep there. And it did feel like, Tony, at the end of the season, to your point about the expectations, since the expectations weren't high coming into the season, the Red Sox had this attitude, the us versus the world mentality. And then they hit some rough patches, and towards the end of the season, when their postseason hopes were in jeopardy, it felt like they really, really pressed. And they did not look like the same team down the stretch. And it feels like once they got into that wild card game against the Yankees, they look like the team that we saw for the majority of the season, especially offensively. They're hitting the crap out of the ball right now. It just feels like they're a lot looser than they were as recently as 2 weeks ago. So, and I do feel like this team thrives when they're getting doubted, right? Like they were home dogs against the Yankees. They were, of course, dogs against the 100-win Rays. I feel like this is a better position for them to be in right now when they're underdogs, because they were never supposed to be the favorite. And quite frankly, I don't think they handled that well.
This series against the Rays, it's not only winning in four, but they won the last three. What was the key to beat a team that had 100 wins? And people were looking at saying, yeah, this might be the best put-together team in the American League.
Yeah, there's three things. The first one is, we said going into the series, if they were going to win, their offense was going to have to show up. Well, they had 51 hits. As a team, they had a 919 OPS. They hit 328, and they had a guy, Kike Hernandez, had seven straight plate appearances with a hit. So the lineup now is the best it's been all season long. Now, it's not as good in the field, and they've never been a good defensive team, but with Schwarber in the leadoff spot, think about this. J.D. Martinez is hitting six. J.D. Martinez, like one of the best sluggers that we've seen over the past 5 years. Now, he hasn't been as good this year, but he's hitting six in this lineup. So that's the first thing. They absolutely lit up the Rays pitching. They destroyed all three of their rookie pitchers, including McClanahan, who they didn't get to in game one. They lit him up when he came out of the bullpen the other night. The second thing is they've got unbelievable pitching performances out of the bullpen. It was Tanner Houck who essentially saved the season in game two when Chris Sale got absolutely destroyed. Five runs in the first inning. Houck comes up. He gives you five innings. He gives up just the one run. So he was tremendous to save that season and give the Red Sox the opportunity to get the offense going. Then on Sunday, the marathon game, Pivetta, who was supposed to start game four, he comes out of the bullpen. You go four innings, you have seven strikeouts, and you get this weird ruling that definitely worked in the Red Sox favor when the ball went off in a run throw into the dugout. So they benefit from that weird rule. It was the right rule, but it was it's a weird rule, but it's the right rule. And then the last thing is Cora. I mean, he just absolutely outmanaged Kevin Cash. There's no way about it. Now, I'll tell you this. The other night, Tony, just to give you one example. So Tanner Houck's on fumes. He throws 61 pitches on Friday night. So they bring him back out in that game, the closeout game. He doesn't have it. He gives up a home run to Wander Franco. So they bring him back out for the seventh inning because Cora knows that Kevin Cash can't help himself but going to his bench. So he pinch hits a lefty Choi. So right after he does that, Cora goes to his bullpen. He gets this lefty Josh Taylor, which is exactly what Cora wanted Cash to do. He set him up. He got two lefties that inning. and a righty in Yandy Diaz who had no power. So Cora set so many traps for Kevin Cash, and he took the bait every time. So those are the three things. The offense got going, unbelievable performances out of the bullpen, mainly Houck and Pivetta and Whitlock, who was nails the other day to close that thing out. And then, of course, the advantage of having Alex Cora in that dugout.
It's like a chess master where he goes, here, take this bishop, because in three moves I'm going to get your queen.
Yeah, that's what he does. I mean, he did it to him in the other game as well. He gets their lefties out of the lineup, so he makes more advantageous matchups later on in the game for his righties that come out of the bullpen, because he has way more faith in his righties. The Houck's, now Pivetta's been in the bullpen a lot, and the Garrett Whitlocks of the world. So he basically was daring Kevin Cash to get his lefties out of the game to make it better matchups later on. And every time it worked, Kevin Cash, and not to mention Cash, I felt he had a bad series. He brings McClanahan in to the third inning the other day in a scoreless game, who is their ace, but he's on 3 days rest. I don't understand. If you're going to bring that guy into the third inning of the game, why wouldn't you just start him? He hasn't pitched out of the bullpen all season long. It made no sense to me whatsoever. And the Sox were all over him. I mean, that's the reason the Rays lost the game. They gave up five runs in that third inning. Devers hit a home run, Verdugo double, and JD and RBI single off the wall. I mean, Kevin Cash really lost the series for his team in a lot of ways.
In an area that has so much success with all of its team winning championships or at least competing in championships, again, this was a Red Sox team that didn't have a lot of expectation. And I'm not, you know, I don't want to use the term house money. That seems a little overblown. But how is the fan reaction to this team, given this, what people thought about where this team was going to be at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, it's a really weird dynamic because at the trading deadline, really, everybody went after Chaim Bloom saying that he didn't do enough, right? So essentially, there was like, oh, well, does he really believe in the team? People are upset about that because they were surprised, and at the deadline, they went first in the division. They go out, they get Schwarber, which was a great move to begin with. People are mad because he was hurt, but he was the best bat moved at the deadline. There's no even question about that right now. His numbers would indicate that, but they didn't get like reliever than anybody do. And then all of a sudden, like, I was upset about the fact they didn't get a premier reliever either, because that's exactly what they needed. This guy, Hansel Robles, who was horrible with the Twins, they get him. And until the game, game three of the series the other night on Sunday, he hadn't given up an earned run since August the 29th. So he had kind of turned it around. But the fan base was really down the stretch of the season doubting this team. They were upset with Bloom. And now it does feel like they've won a lot of those people back. But people are really mad. So you got to remember, like, the second half of the season, they weren't that good.
Yeah.
They played, like, 500 baseball, and then they had that COVID situation, and that was a whole other thing with all the, like, the Red Sox are one of the teams that didn't hit that 85% threshold. So you had people in the local media blame, not myself, but people blaming the Red Sox for not being vaccinated. This is why their season's falling apart, because they didn't fit the 85% threshold, even though they ignored the fact this whole thing started with a guy that was vaccinated. He had a breakthrough case, and that kind of spread throughout the clubhouse. But yeah, there was a lot of negativity towards the Red Sox for the majority of the season, and now it does feel like there's always been like the loyal group of fans, but it does feel like now they've won over the fan base in general.
All right, let's look ahead to this ALCS and the Astros. And is there a situation that the Astros have, whether it's the way their rotation is set up or the way their lineup is? I mean, they're a very good team, obviously, but that could be a problem for Boston?
Yeah, just the lineup in general. I mean, I think the one thing the Red Sox do benefit from, if you're going to beat that team that's an absolute wagon, you got to catch some breaks. I think they caught a break with the rainout the other day, where now they start Lance McCullers yesterday.
Yeah, right.
Which means he's not going to start game one, obviously, and that's the ace of their staff. He's been tremendous. So I think they catch a break in some sense, and they get to reset their pitching. So Nathan Eovaldi has been so good for the Red Sox. He gets to pitch game one. But I think it's just the fact that you got to deal with Correa and Altuve and Bregman. And the Red Sox got their ass kicked by the Astros this season. I mean, they owned them. Now, granted, the Red Sox are a different team since then. They didn't have Kyle Schwarber for that particular series, which is obviously a major difference maker. But it's the fact that those guys have been in so many big games, they're not going to be in a situation where the Red Sox are the best offense in baseball when they play at Fenway Park. The numbers would indicate that. So they're not going to be intimidated from going to Fenway Park. So it's just the fact that that lineup is so devastating. The other thing I would say is this. It's going to be a weird situation for the next couple of days between the core thing with the Astros. Like, that whole situation is now going to come back up again. I mean, Cora has talked about this all season long. He's had to answer all the questions about it. And now it's going to come up again. And it's going to come up again for the Astros, too, because
sure,
Cora's on the other side. I just can't wait until we get till Friday and we can get to a baseball game, because the next 48 hours are going to be all about that.
Absolutely, without question. Brian, great having you on as always. Glad to see the, your success. Really appreciate it. Hope to get you on again soon. Maybe a World Series preview as well.
Oh, that would be nice, man.
Yeah, I don't want to get too ahead of myself because I already owe an apology for bashing this team heading into the postseason.
Hey, don't worry about it. We got a lot of hosts on the station that do the same thing.
Brian, great talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much as always.
All right, Tony.
You got it, Brian Barrett. Yeah, goodness gracious. I mean, look, I know that area. I know this. Boston is crazy. It's a great, great city. And I was very blessed to go to a lot of Red Sox games growing up as a kid. I was very blessed for that. I knew a lot of my friends never went, and I went like twice a year, right? To see the transformation of this franchise from a frustrating when are we going to get ours to a team that's in the ALCS when they. No one thought they belonged there. Like, name a Yankee team that has ever gone to an American League Championship Series where people went, wow, I never thought I'd see this. Like, never, never. The Yankees get to the American League Championship Series, you go, yeah, well, look at their payroll. Look at the people they have on their team. Look what they built. There's never a surprise. There's never like, oh, my God, Vegas thought we'd win 65 games and we're in the World Series. This Red Sox team, think about their success. Think about just the last 20 years of their World Series success. And now they're back in an American League Championship Series when people thought they wouldn't make the playoffs because they were, as he mentioned, they weren't playing that good in the second half. Yeah. He's right. This whole Alex Cora sign stealing Astros Red Sox combination thing and Cora being the middle of it. He's right. That's dominating the next 48 hours. He's 100% right about this. And then we'll get to game one. But he also said something really interesting, too. And this is one of the keys with baseball, because, again, that old saying, momentum's only good as your next day's starter. The fact that Lance McCullers got to go in game four, he's right. They don't see him in game one. Right. And Nate Eovaldi, they get to use him in game one. So there might be an advantage here. Now, it's a long series, seven games. Things have a tendency to sort of even out a little bit rather than a quick five game series. Those two extra games do allow more of a buffer. But I'm really fascinated with the matchups in this, especially Rafael Devers going up against Houston pitching, because they used to pepper him with fastballs to see if he could get it. All right, we'll come back. We'll wrap up the hour, set you up for Denton Day coming up next on Sports Map Radio.